The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told his companions, who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them, walking along their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but they did not believe them either. But later, as the 11 were at table, he appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. He said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, we're kind of wrapping up our resurrection appearances of Jesus. Do you know this is the way we've made our way through the octave of Easter, and now we have St. Mark's account of the resurrection appearances. In fact, we get them, you know, all three of them at once here in this passage, and of course they're very significant. Even though they appear in summary form, there's a lot for us to grapple with, to grasp, not only about the fact of Jesus' resurrection, but how it was being received, and what it was meant to spur on in the people who are receiving those appearances. I think it's significant to go back to the Acts of the Apostles, and see Peter and John, who are appearing before the leaders, the elders, and the scribes. They're recognized as companions of Jesus, and of course they've got the man with them who they've healed, right? The man, they said, "We don't have really anything to give you, but in the power of Jesus, rise," right? And he was, this man was restored. So they're recognizing that the leaders of the people are recognizing that they have something of an out of control movement on their hands. Yeah, there's something they can't do much to restrain. And so we see them trying nonetheless, right? They called them in. They ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Yeah, this is the way their kind of last gasp effort to have them, you know, reel this movement in that's quite dangerous. So we say it's dangerous, right? It's powerful. It's powerful according to the plan and purpose of God. Now, if you have a bunch of people not living to the plan and purpose of God, then it's dangerous for them. Okay, and this is where they find themselves. Don't speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John same reply, "Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard." Okay, and then they receive further threats and that kind of thing. They don't care. They don't care about the threats. You know, they care about the threats perhaps because of the people giving them. They want those people also to come to saving knowledge. They want them to come to saving faith. They want them to submit their lives to King Jesus and live under his rule and help to advance his rule to every corner of creation. But they themselves are not going to be limited by the imposition of these rulers and leaders, and whether they're corrupt or otherwise, allow you to be the judge as well. We have to obey God rather than men, right? For us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. So this is it. It's impossible for them. They're compelled to give witness. They're compelled to give witness. They're compelled to continue the mission that Jesus entrusts to them. He said, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." Really, the Greek says to all of creation. I think it's probably better to see it that way, because at once it's a little less defined, but that then in fact gives real definition to the task, because their task is to live for God and his purposes. They've been reanimated by the power of the resurrection, right? Sin has been dealt with, so that God's plan for man can can be brought back on track. The royal priesthood, the plan of God from the beginning for man to live so as to sing his praises, to sum up creation's praises, and to offer to him a heart of worship and center our hearts and our lives on him, and then being centered on God to pour ourselves out in his service. This is the task that has been recaptured for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus. On the personal level, we have to die with Christ in order to rise with him to new life. So we die with Christ, we put the old man to death, we put the old person to death, we kill off the old man, the man who lives, say, not for God and his purposes. The man who has, say, given himself over to countless counterfeit gods and to any number of vain pursuits. That's the man we put to death in the death of Jesus. We rise with Jesus to new life, a new life unencumbered by the rule of sin and death, right? Freed from the ravages of sin and death, and freed now, at least possessing the freeing power to put counterfeit gods behind us and live totally for the true and living God, the God who is himself an eternal exchange of glorifying love. Right? We've been bought back from our slavery to sin so that we can live in the freedom of the children of God. We can live totally for God and his purposes. This is how we then preach the gospel to all of creation. We live well the royal priesthood. We live well our lives as kings and priests. Yeah, so because that vocation has been restored to us in Christ, and he now is breathing his spirit into us to animate us in that very task, we can bring earth to heaven, and we can bring heaven to earth. And just as we see Jesus going to and fro between the realms of heaven and earth, stitching them together, so too we have to go between heaven and earth, stitching them together. Yeah, stitching, okay, we get it? We all get it, yeah, no? Earthquake on the mind? No? Okay. Well, okay, fine. Yeah, so forget about it. Do you know? I mean, you guys were in the right place, right, to experience the earthquake yesterday. We were in the church. So it was good. Adoration, you know, with the kind of ground-shaking force that adoration is. You know, this is it, right? We're supposed to be earth shakers ourselves. This is perhaps the scandal of the thing, okay? The earth is shaking. No, the earth should be shaking all the time because Christians ought to be about the work of God all the time. Do you know, we ought to be, you know, darting back and forth between heaven and earth so as to bring the realms together. How are they brought together? They're brought together when we take into ourselves everything that God entrusts to us and we turn it over to him. In praise, right? We're taking ourselves and saying, "Yeah, this physical life, right, that I've been given, this material and spiritual life that I've been given, I'm giving back to you, God, in praise. I'm singing your praises, right? I love you. I adore you. This is how we're bringing earth to heaven, when we adore God. Yes, yeah, so we're going to praise him. We're going to adore him. We're going to worship him. And then, how do we bring heaven to earth? Well, when we go and connect to God, or when we allow God to have the connection with us that he always wants, then we find ourselves filled and, in fact, flooded by his own life of love, his grace, his strength. And then we live out of that as our inspiration and our animating principle and our organizing principle. So we say, we're receiving the love of God. Then for me, everything has to be inspired by the love of God, right? I want to do all the things that the love of God is inspiring in me, yeah. And I know that if I go out in that manner, right, I go out inspired by the love of God, I know that he's going to sustain me in the task because he continue to pour his love into me and then through me into the world, right? Again, darting back and forth between heaven and earth, stitching heaven and earth together. This is how it happens. Right, so this is what it means to go out and proclaim the gospel to all of creation. Right, it's to live as God intended us to live. It's to live honoring the great sacrifice of God in the death and resurrection of Jesus and being empowered again with his breath, the breath of life at work in us and working through us, to live to the task, right, to pick up the the great ennobling task that St. John Vianney said of entrusted to human beings to pray and to love, to pray and to love, to worship and to witness. Yeah, our lives again have been bought back by God. He now rightfully possesses us, and we rejoice in the fact. We give ourselves over to him willingly, gladly, joyfully, and we pour ourselves out in his service.